Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey Rangers, it's me, Jackie Cation, and it is another year of the Dork Forest. What the heck, right? So you should know that the website, JackieCation.com or thedorkforest.com or dorkforest.com, if you don't enjoy a determiner, are all still available. You could hear the show on all of the different things. I've been trying to figure out how to get off Spotify. Try not to listen to Spotify because they throw in ads that are not approved by me, Jackie Cation. So, we'll see what I could do. Anyway, but so you could always watch the show on my YouTube channel. I think it's The Dork Forest or Jackie Cation. It's all linkable on JackieCation.com, the Dork Forest page. And I have another podcast called The Jackie and Laurie Show. Not quite as sleepable because it's just me and Laurie Kilmartin bitching about stand-up comedy and also celebrating it. Anyway, so here's the thing. You can donate again to the show. If you enjoy the show, I would love for you to donate about $100 a year because that keeps everything in rolling along. And you can do PayPal, which is my email, jackie@jackiecation.com, which you can also email me anything you like about the shows and stuff like that. You can Venmo me at Jackie Cation. That's my Venmo handle. And if you see me in real life at a comedy show, you could just hand me a sweaty wad of 20s or whatever you like. That'd be great. And I also do stand-up comedy. So you can see my tour dates on JackieCation.com. You can see, you can listen to very old episodes of The Dork Forest on my Bandcamp. And I also put my very first album that I ripped. It's on my Bandcamp page. It's called It's not Circus People. It's Cake Is Not My Downfall, which is a track on the Bread album, but it has other jokes that are not on the Bread album. The audio is what it is, but there's also some very early Dork Forests and a storytelling album called Storytime, all on Bandcamp, and everything's either free or a couple of bucks. So new album coming out in February called Altercation and new special. And that, I'm sure there's more to it, but let's get into the show. Oh my gosh, Rangers of the Dork Forest. It's a returning guest. The last time she was here, she was in my home. And then we went out to my garden, which by the way, is not planted yet this year. The Victory Garden will be planted though, because we are again at war. We're almost always at war. Hemda, welcome to the program. It's Hemda, and it's spelled C-H-E-M-D-A. And you, what was the podcast? You and that guy, forever.
Yeah. Well, I used to be the girl of Keith and the Girl. And
right. And for some reason, I couldn't remember his name. That's weird. Keith and the Girl, you guys did it for like a decade or two. And it was very popular. And now you have your own podcast about something you actually want to talk to, and I want to talk to about, because I enjoy the program, the Gilmore Girls. Yeah. We're going to get into Gilmore Girls with Hemda. And if you go to GilmoreFriends.com, it'll have all of the information and all of the links to listen to the podcast, to find out about you and your co-host. It's a new co-host. What's her name?
Their
name?
Carrie Gravenson.
And she's going to come on in an episode or two, and I'm going to get her on. And then you have a YouTube where people can watch this, much like the Dork Forest YouTube. It is YouTube/GilmoreFriendsPodcast.com. It'll all be in the notes, so linkable per that. What do you want to tell me about Gilmore Girls?
So I want to tell you everything about Gilmore Girls, because what I found is that I'm obsessed, and this is why this podcast happened. I had no idea I was obsessed, but after we talk about this, you're going to be like, you are clueless about yourself and your life, and I'm really glad you have this podcast. I had to release this energy on something. So,
oh, it is. It's really, it's an empty bucket. You can dump everything into this thing where you can, there's rabbit holes within rabbit holes. You're like, wait, she's a single mom, but that shirt costs $130. Anyway, I forget even what year. Was it 94 or was it later 90s that it started?
It actually, we started the podcast on the 25th anniversary, exactly the week that it started. So it started in 2000. We started.
Oh, did it?
In 2025. And that was, so they just celebrated in October, the 25 year anniversary of their start. So
okay,
that's the thing. It's like, hey, does it hold up? This is, you know, some of the jokes are someone's gay. You know what I mean? Like
The hilarity of homosexuality.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't go that far where it's, you know, constantly boom, you know, but there are some stuff. There are some things that we have to say, hey, that's how we saw men at the time. Hey, that's what we expected of women at the time. So that's some of the stuff that we talk about. But here's the thing. My friend Carrie never saw the show. Now, I don't know if you met a lot of people, never saw an episode, never saw a clip, never saw anything. And we, you know, regularly talk. And sometimes I start going like, yeah, that's like Rory. That's like this episode. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I don't go to Stars Hollow like you do. So
that's so funny.
Who have never watched it, this is such a fun way of watching it together, because we watch an episode and then we record our thoughts on it.
Sure.
So even if you haven't seen it, it's still like,
it's an hour long dramedy. That's what you should know about it. And it's got the Gilmore grandparents, Rory's grandparents, are played by some of the greatest actors.
Yes.
They're American royalty, right? So.
Yes, actually. So the grandma has won a Tony. She originated the role on Broadway of A Chorus Line. And the grandfather has been in literally everything.
Yes. He was the dad. He is dead now. We didn't kill him.
Don't tell my co-host. She doesn't even know yet.
Oh, because she doesn't even know that actor?
We just finished season one. And so
she's never even seen that actor before?
I don't
Because
see,
he's in Law and Order.
He's in everything.
Dirty Dancing. He's the dad in Dirty Dancing.
No, she's the mom in Dirty Dancing. He's not the dad. But he's.
He is the.
No.
Wait a minute. Come on.
No. But he's in so many things. I don't even know how to begin to list it. But here's the thing. It doesn't track. Like, I had to be like, oh yeah, he's in that. Oh yeah, he's in that. I didn't even realize she was the mom you just mentioned the movie.
Dirty Dancing.
I had to rewatch it and go, oh my God, how did I miss this? So I think because he.
Am I getting him mixed up with the guy who is on Law and Order?
Yes.
Because the guy in Dirty Dancing is the guy from Law and Order.
Yes. Yeah, you're mixing them
up. But he was not the guy on Law and Order. He was a different guy. You know what he was? He was the lead in Overboard.
Yes. Yes. He was the total jerk who left her there.
Yes. Completely Goldie like, Hawn, abandoned.
Oh, she doesn't remember who I am. I'm just going to leave and take all her money. That movie, by the way, don't even get me started about Overboard. I can't even believe they did a remake. I couldn't watch it.
I loved Overboard.
I loved the
mini golf. The mini golf scene alone makes me happy.
But it is anyway, so cringy thinking about what Overboard
it's
is about.
Super great. Well, it's just abduction and gaslighting and all this thing. But swear to God, the way society has changed, even in the last 25 years, it's exponential. It is. Like warp drive. It is speed of light. It is hyperspeed. It is like,
which I'm really grateful
about.
We've grown
up so fast.
We have. And I feel like, you know, when now we're going to get into some other stuff, but I think this is part of Gilmore Girls is the expectation that we had on women and girls, the expectation that we had on men. We see in the Luke character that men were only allowed to be angry, you know? And so when they showed a softness, they were kind of looked at funny. So even though we wanted this softness from men, we kind of cringed a little when they showed it. So they could only show it in little tidbits and only when we pull it out of them. So
we were so psyched when Dean got mad. When Dean got mad, I was like, oh, look at Dean.
That was scary, right?
Dean was awesome. And then he went on to Supernatural, and now he's a famous person.
Yeah. Which I don't know him from, but yeah. So
we have gotten ahead of ourselves.
Right.
Have we not? Yes. I don't even remember the pilot. Wait, that's not true. I think I tried to watch it again, and it was cringy, but only because I kept going, oh, you are not the adult in this situation. You're driving me crazy a little bit, Lorelai. Anyway.
That's the thing. So, you know, now people have watched it after 25 years. And at first you're like, yeah, Lorelai, you're the hip one. And then you're like, Lorelai, shut up.
You're friends with your daughter. Don't be friends with your daughter. Let your daughter be a child. Oh, no. Rory doesn't ever get to be a child.
So there's that whole thing. So what happens is this. When Lorelai was 16, she got pregnant. She wasn't married. She ended up running away from home. She took the kid with her, obviously, and she raised this kid in a really small town. She went from being a maid to running an inn. And her parents are this very strict, super rich Connecticut people. And so there's a clash of behavior.
Money
really.
and expectations and old waspy money and all of this. You know, and everybody, it is the whitest show. I mean, Friends ends up being the whitest show by accident. But Gilmore Girl is the whitest show by design. It is, yeah. I mean, the fact she has a Korean friend is the exciting part of this.
The Korean friend is the one that I relate to the most. I'm first generation. If you can count me as first generation, I got here when I was 4. But I had that clash with my mom, who wanted to keep me, as a lot of first generation people, they're kept in their culture as much as possible, but then they have to leave their house and join this other culture. And so they're always like in between, and that's what Lane is. So one of the things that Lane does is she hides the clothes that she wears. She hides her music under floorboards. She's got a closet with, special lights and things. So she hides her personality, hides her flair. And I used to do that. I used to go to clubs, and I went to like Limelight. I went to Palladium. I would tell my mom that I'm sleeping over somebody's house and just stay out all night in New York City and like just figure it out and just stay up. Sometimes we went to Limelight on Thursday night and just went to school. Because we didn't want to tell our parents where we were, especially me. My parents were really, really strict.
Just reeking of cigarettes from stem to stern, I bet. Because it was back when you could smoke.
That's right? True.
Even if you don't smoke. I got in trouble in junior high. Was it junior high or early high school? Where they were like, you have got to stop smoking. This isn't good for you. And I was like, I don't smoke. My father smokes 4 packs a day and my mother 2 packs a day, 2.5. So I didn't even know that I reeked of cigarettes. And
you know what? That's how I got away with it. Yeah.
Oh, because they all smoked too? Your parents
smoked?
My
father, that's so funny that you said your father smoked 4 packs. My father smoked at least 3 at some point. He would describe it. He would be smoking, light his next cigarette, and he would keep it to one of the rooms in the house. But I didn't consider that. I could have gotten caught that I was out in these clubs and my hair smelled like smoke. But it must have always smelled like smoke. I didn't even realize.
It always smelled like smoke. Right. I could have gotten away with so much more, but I didn't know that I reeked. Only recently, and I'm talking about the last 5 years, one of my friends from high school was like, yeah, there was trouble. You smelled like cigarettes all the time. And I was like, oh, maybe that was one of the reasons why nobody wanted to hang out with me.
People had no trouble smoking in your face, smoking indoors. You were the jerk. Going,
the windows are rolled up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we're in the first episode. Yeah. Doesn't she need school money or something?
So that's the thing. Her kid ends up being like a real genius, loving school, really wanting to go to private school, wanting to like get more and more education, wanting homework, like just loving. Mm-hmm. She soaks up all this information. So she gets into a place called Chilton where she would have to wear a uniform, which she loves the idea of that. She loves all of this, which is the thing that Lorelai, her mom, rejected. So
the whole thing. Yeah.
So now she gets into this place. She's on the phone with the school and she goes, oh, that's a lot of zeros after that five. Now, there's a thing, and Gilmore friends know about this. You knew that she wanted to go to Harvard, your kid. You knew Rory wanted to go to Harvard. You knew that you were setting her up to do that. You knew that she was applying for the school. You kind of didn't save up money. We know that you're in a small town. So no matter what, it's going to be hard to save money. But now you have to ask your parents, the people who, as soon as she knocks on the door and it's not Easter and Christmas, they're like, you want money. So now they know that. So you know right. that like that's your habit between them. So how angry could you really be at them? Except then you see their behavior at her and they're so mean.
They're so mean. But you know what
I just mean.
Right. They're the most passive aggressive.
Yeah.
But I will say this is that I had forgotten about the Easter and Christmas thing because I was like, did they even know their granddaughter? Well, they did.
Yeah.
So she didn't deny them their grandchild. She just only brought them over twice a year.
Yeah.
And
which
so,
is the relationship a lot of us have with our parents. We see them, you know, we're Christmas and Easter Jews, you know.
Like, right. The equivalent, right? It's a
right.
it's Passover, it's Yom Kippur. Hello, and have some challah.
Right. So that's how they set us up to be like, hey, the Emily, the grandma, is like, yeah, sure, you can have this money, but I need you here every Friday night at 7 to have dinner with me. Because and it's this odd, sweet thing that you want to be with your daughter and granddaughter, but you
yeah.
mandate it because you know that that's the only way that you can connect with them.
Right.
So
and you've done something weird to make it that she doesn't want to. So what have
yeah.
you done, right? I mean, that's a weird thing for me, you know?
Yeah, but I don't think parents have in the history of us growing up, I don't think parents have went, what did I do wrong? I think it was more back then. I think more now they're doing it. Back then they were like, what didn't I do for you? I gave you everything.
Right.
I gave you this upbringing that is from what I know, and they're right, from what they know, this is perfect and you should be so grateful and you're just an ingrate.
So much better than my childhood.
And
so I've given you everything and it is, and they're not wrong, but they're also, and there is more self. I mean, you know, when I'm on stage and I talk about being hit as a child and there's someone in their 20s or 30s in the audience, I'm like, you weren't hit as a child, right? And they're like, no. And I said, were you talked to incessantly? Were you explained to why you were not allowed to do something at length? And they're like, yes, I was. And I was like, I don't know what I'd want more. Anyway, so. But yeah, so the parenting has even changed since that. So
yeah,
but
very
yes.
much. Yeah. And I feel, so you end up feeling for both sides because you know how wrong Emily is. And the father is there too. He's also in the same behavior, but the show is focused on the women. So I'll probably not even mention them really.
The dad as much. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're a couple and they
yeah.
are in, they're like-minded. So whatever Emily is saying, the grandma, that's what the father believes also.
Right. He could have been more helpful. Like he could have been a more sympathetic, like some dads are on TV. Like they
right.
make the dad into the hero. And I like that they didn't make him into the hero. They made him into
right.
a very distant, cold, but supportive, but also what? Would live in debt. No.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
But they're also cold with each other and there's a warmth about it. Like you see Emily turn to Richard, the grandparents. You see her having this moment of, oh, wow, I don't know my daughter. And then she sort of straightens out like, anyway, let's drive home. Almost like
yeah.
we mustn't talk about our feelings, even with each other. It's completely inappropriate. And that's what
right.
feelings were. They were
right.
inappropriate.
Yeah.
What are you doing? You're blubbering all over me. This is, I don't know, like we don't have sex with our feelings. We have sex to like, manage our body functions and, you know, everything
right.
is very...
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very conservative. It is how I was brought up as well. So there's a lot of, you know, the Korean mom and the WASPy mom have a lot in common, which is what people sort of discover it, when you're conservative, you want to hide your daughters. You want them protected in this way that you can't. You can't. You just can't. And the both daughters end up rebelling, right? So there's a lot that I feel like. So when I was younger watching this, I was like, yeah, Lorelai, tell her. How dare she talk to you like that? And at the same time, I always felt for my mom. I felt for my mom because she was always doing the right thing. She was always
right
doing the best she could. I had home-cooked meals. There's nothing that I can complain about. But they would like sideswipe you with these things. Like they would just.
Right. With other weird expectations where you're like, how did that even come up? Right. And, but I will say that like, cause Lane's mom was very much that where she was constantly, you know, providing and she's like, and then this is a nice, a beautiful family environment, but also here's the kid you're going to marry. You can't marry that guy. He's not a Korean.
Right. And, I mean, I'm talking about when I was 16 and I wasn't dating anyone, my parents were worried. My parents were like, where is this girl going? She might even like.
Are you an only child?
No, but I'm an only girl.
Okay. So you have brothers.
My brothers, I have an older one and a younger one. And they will tell you they lived an entirely different childhood. And I'm not saying they weren't, you know, oppressed in the various ways that the men got oppressed. But it was different.
Very much so, yes.
And the problem is I'm very much like how my dad was. I have, I like to gamble a little bit. I like being loud. I'm, you know, the jokey fun one. But it was so gross to them that I'm female being that, you know,
right.
I wanted to go out. I wanted to experience. I wanted to just.
Yeah, you wanted to party on a Thursday, go dancing all night, and then go to school.
Oh, that was
that's so it.
Fun. Yeah, I wore like the mini skirt with the knee-high boots, and they couldn't see me in that. I had to like put it in my backpack, change in the car. You know, I had that
deep
stick. I had the whole thing. I wanted to see the stuff that happened at clubs. When I first went to Palladium, nothing bad happened, and I was very disappointed. And then I went to Limelight on a Thursday night. Okay. This is a little, you know, for those who are a little conservative,
There
was so much stuff. There was a night where they decided to play something called Richie Says, and it was Richie Says basically eat her out on stage. Richie Says like,
oh, and, okay.
You know, I mean, there was a lot happening.
Limelight? Are they Club 50, like what kind of, are they new famous New York clubs that I don't know about because South Milwaukee, Wisconsin didn't lend itself to the, because I was just a career drunk. I wasn't a partier. So anyway.
Which is so funny because I wasn't drinking. I was just in the spaces.
Right. You just wanted to see the event, the world.
Yeah.
So what are they, gay bars or are they just dance clubs or are they?
I think that you could compare Limelight and maybe Palladium more Limelight to the Studio 54 of the next. There's actually a documentary about how messed up it is and how the owner, I think, was touching children. It was not right. We were 16 years
old. They're
being allowed in, and there was a lot of.
Oh yeah, they let 16-year-old. Yes, your parents weren't wrong.
They were right. But I still wanted it.
And I have six or a dozen stories that end, and then I wasn't killed, you guys.
Exactly.
So it's like that. So it's not, we're not encouraging this. If there's not a lot of children who listen to this program, I will say that.
And those clubs are gone.
Those clubs are gone. There's different clubs.
I wouldn't even know where at this point to find the mayhem.
But you're not 16. You're not 16.
Oh, not 16.
Right. There's the kids like talk about raves. They like to go to raves, man. And I don't know what's happening. They're usually, as far as I can tell, they're in an alley or on top of it's the Jets and the Sharks, as far as I can tell. I don't know what's going on.
So funny. I actually got arrested at a rave one time because I was actually an adult at this point. I think I was like 21. I mentioned this on the Gilmore Friends podcast because there was a scene where they talk about how Rory's clown got arrested at one of her parties. And it's just a sentence and then they move on.
Just a throwaway?
Just a throwaway because, you know, her Lorelai throws such raves for her child that the clown got arrested. I used to do kids' parties. And then a friend of mine who did kids' parties at the time, she and I got hired at a rave to do balloons. And, you know, like it's a more adult situation. And so I was making hats and stuff. And then the rave got raided. And there was an undercover cop taking away two people. And what I decided to do, because I'm so stupid, is make a balloon hat for him. And while he's got his back turned to me with two people, I put it on his head.
Stone cold sober.
Sober. Still sober.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is some real... This is some real bad life choices, Chemda. Holy hell in a handbasket.
Oh, yeah.
I've done dumb stuff around cops, but one could arguably say I was hammered. I walked out of a bar once with a beer in my hand, and the cop was there, and he said, "You can't drink that out here." And so I finished it. I crushed the can, and I put it on his car. And it turns out because I was a 19, 20-year-old white woman, he said, "Pick it up and throw it away." And he didn't kill me. So,
whoa.
You know, everything's very different when you look like everybody's sister, daughter, and mom.
Well, congrats.
Congratulations for not being killed. What did that guy do?
This guy turned around. He was so in shock, which you can't blame him. He was so in shock. He turned around, kicked me, but like, not hard because by the time he realized what he was doing, it wasn't a hard kick, but he motioned to somebody else to take me away because he was already taking two people away. And I was the most talking shit idiot. I was like, "You can't do this, you know, blah, blah." But here's the thing. I talked and talked until they closed those bars and then I sobbed. I turned into a little girl because I was like, "This is real tell." And
you are Lorelai because I can totally see Lorelai just doing that mouthy, mouthy, mouthy. Oh, shoot. Mm-hmm. Consequences.
Yeah, that was really stupid. I felt really bad. And here's how it turned around. I never got booked. I just got held for a while. And the guy came in, the person that arrested me, for some reason, apologized to me and let me go. I don't know why. I wasn't asking questions because I was so nervous. No. I was okay, bye. No problem. Sorry. Also,
right, there must have been some sort of, he knew they were going to throw it out of court for like a technicality or something. So he was like, "They just let you go." Lucky.
Maybe because
it wasn't super violent. You were just essentially mocking the law.
So stupid. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like whether I had a right to do that or not was so stupid. I really put myself in danger.
I don't think you do have a right to put a balloon animal of a penis on top of another person's head without their consent. Penis,
but okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Could have been something else. Anyway, but I assumed, because I don't know. Can you still make balloon animals? This is my...
Oh, yeah.
Can you make a puppy?
Yeah, of course. I can make a pregnant puppy. Now, depending on the audience, I say it's a puppy who just ate or it's a pregnant puppy, because I don't want kids' parents going like, You told my kid what pregnancy is. Like, now I got to explain what this thing inside of the dog
and honestly,
is.
Honestly, nobody wants the balloon animal lady talking about pregnancy to a bunch of six-year-olds. You just don't. But if you mention it to a bunch of, you know, 27-year-olds, they're going to go, "Ha ha." Anyway, because that means that they had to fuck you guys. Anyway, so
right. We're not getting into that. So
no.
So much in this show that I relate to and not just getting arrested. There are times where even though I'm on my 20-something rewatch the entire series. This is when I'm like, how did I not know I was obsessed with this show? There's still times where I tear up where certain.
Which episodes are the sad ones that make you tear up, or what scenes?
So there's one where Lorelai's dad has to go to the hospital and she has to meet him there, and Luke is driving her and she's just thinking about her dad going, you know, he gave me everything and here's me. I must be such a disappointment to him. And no one could see, like, your average American person does not see somebody like Lorelai as a disappointment. She runs the inn. She bought her home. She takes care of her kid. She doesn't do anything, quote, wrong. Like, she lives her life. She provides. But when you think about your dad, and when I think about my dad, and he just recently passed away, and I've had that thought going like, wow, what a disappointment I was, because the things that I pursued made him ashamed, you know, like me talking openly like this is not what Middle Eastern kids do. Me marrying, I was married to a same-sex person was, and that's not what we do. There's like so many things that I was very masculine about in his eyes that, you know, I pursued music.
So he couldn't brag about you to his buddies. Is like, this is my beautiful, sexy, cis, heterosexual daughter who's got two kids and they're really popular. Demure. No.
Right.
And yeah. Right. Like, but you know, that's of course not fair. Right. And for someone, I mean, lucky for me that I don't care if my father is proud of me. Which is weird because he is. And he hated the fact that I did, that he thought showbiz was dumb. And he was always like, well, you have a day job, right? And I said, have I asked you for dime one? I have not.
Yeah.
So, but when I started getting, when I got on television, he was like, now he's proud. And I'm like, but
I didn't even get that. I remember getting a book deal and he was like, so, and I was like, hi, nobody gets this. Like, this is not,
nobody gets this.
It's not what he wanted. In fact, we didn't talk for 10 years. Wow. I happened to reconnect with him, a few months before he passed. And it just came at it. Like, I didn't even know that. It wasn't why I reconnected. I just picked up the phone and called them and now I'm connected.
Gave it a shot.
Yeah. Because I figured, every time I reconnected, because there were times where we just got into it so bad that I kind of didn't talk to them. You know, I was like the Christmas and Easter or whatever. The Jew version. But then I was like, every time I reconnected or tried, I would bring up the past, which I think is a mistake. I would expect them to change and I expect me to accept them in a very specific way. I think this time it worked because I knew what was coming. I wasn't going to bring up the past. I was going to take it from here. And I expected me to respond differently to whatever it is they threw at me. And I did. And it was a much better. See, because every time Emily and Richard get together with Lorelai, they go, you left when you were 16. And it's like, oh my God, this is a lifetime later. We cannot undo this. We're going to have this fight over and over and over again.
Unplanned pregnancy? Learn how people are getting abortion pills by mail for a safe abortion at home, no matter what state they live in, at plancypills.org. That's plancypills.org.
Another time is that I cried was Lorelai had a party for Rory. This was like in the first season, in one of the first episodes. I think it's episode 6. And it turns out, because now Rory's in their life, they're coming to the house, to the party. And it was the first time Lorelai's parents were ever in her home.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so
big.
It's very big. And I could see how Lorelai was uncomfortable with that, even though like she's so comfortable with her friends and her, you know,
her own life.
Neighbors and her life. Now She watches her mom go upstairs. She follows her. They have this moment in the room where Emily sees a picture of Lorelai, and she had broken her leg. And she's like, I didn't know you broke your leg. Like, to not know this about your kid, that you have to wear that cast for a while, and you see that. And that reminds me of my mom came over to my place one time. I lived in Alphabet City in New York. Not the greatest at the time. It's probably like so much money now.
Yeah, it's been gentrified.
Yeah, but at the time it was like not the greatest. And she walked into the apartment and cried and was just so upset. She's like, please move somewhere else. Now, in her defense, my shower was right next to my kitchen sink.
Oh, I'm sure it was like, pardon me while I grab this and then hand it to somebody outside the room. I mean, because if you live in New York City, if you live in Manhattan, everything's tiny. Even nice hotels are tiny.
Right.
And so it's, yeah.
But I was so proud. I was like,
you were like, I live alone. I don't think you understand.
Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. That was another problem. I lived with a male roommate, not a boyfriend or anything. I lived with a male roommate. And this was, when I tell you this shower was just a curtain and then you're in the kitchen. Like, it was, and then the bathroom didn't have a sink because it was shower, kitchen sink, bathroom. So you had to get out of the bathroom, wash your hands in the sink. And I'm like, living it up, Alphabet City. And she just
I don't think you get it. Just sobbed. Oh, that's so sad. It's, I could never get, you know how it's so important. People don't realize that they have to go visit their kids or their parents or their siblings. They're like, come and see where I work. Come and see where I live. Come and see. I want you to see that I like this space or I have this good job. Like, my sister got like a corner office and my brothers wouldn't go look at it. And I was like, that's because they knew what a corner office looked like. And I was like, yes. But in other news, She got a corner office. You might want to go celebrate that with her. It's got a door. I mean, it's a big deal when you get like this big deal kind of office. And I remember, my parents never wanting, like, they didn't want to come and see me at college. I was like, all right, fair enough. But it's so awkward. That is the best part of Gilmore Girls, is how it has realistic awkwardness between parents and children that is never corrected, as far as I can tell.
This is what's so great, and my co-host can't listen to this episode at all.
Exactly.
Because she keeps going like, well, Emily will soften up, and I'm like, oh my God, why do you expect that to happen?
Like, don't you know anybody like Emily? Because Emily's don't.
And Emily's, here's the thing. What's really great about this is that she grew up with a single mom. So she's Rory and I'm Lane Kim. So I grew up with the strict, outsider foreigner parents. She grew up with the single mom. Like, we've had conversations where I go, wait, did you just tell me that your mom apologized to you? And she's like, yeah, what would you do? I'm like, apologies? Like, that's a lot of feelings to be thrown at your kid.
No. What was she sorry for? That she provided for you?
Right.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, so she's, it's so good to do it with my white friend.
Right. Your friend who has this entirely different life than you had growing up. And it's so interesting, though, because I would say that Emily, that they both change. Like, obviously, Lorelai and Emily, they don't meet in the middle, but they meet slightly closer to each other because they both love Rory.
Yeah. So the Roryness of the situation sometimes neutralizes it. I would say that if they change or develop, they do it in moments, but they never change these people's character and they never exaggerate them. Like in a lot of sitcoms or dramedies, comedies, like they end up taking what's funny or very big and caricaturistic about that person and blow it up more and more throughout the season. They don't really do that here. Emily stays Emily. And that right. is
she keeps firing play. The maids. She keeps firing the maids. You're just like, I can't believe you just, what did she do wrong? Oh, I'm so sorry. There's both yeah. two salts instead of a salt and a pepper. Anyway.
Yeah. And there's other stuff. There's stuff like, so the guy that Lorelai had the child with was Christopher. And he's just a fuck up all around. Like, he's just not, he wasn't around when, Rory was a kid. He also never visited their town, so he never visited their house. So he was an absentee father, and yet from both sides of the parents and the grandparents, he gets all the credit because when she got pregnant, he was willing to be married. He was willing to work in one of their companies. He was willing to save face for the rest of them, and she was not. Now here's the problem. The problem is they were so close and grew up the same. Rich parents, they were rebels, they like pushed back on it. So she has this experience with this guy that she keeps returning to, and I end up comparing it to a drug. So yeah, I didn't do drugs as a kid. I didn't drink, but neither did she. But whenever something goes wrong in her life, she sleeps with this guy. She gets into a fight with her parents.
She goes back to Christopher. Yeah.
She goes back to Christopher, even though he's never really done right by her. And
right. No, he was willing to get married at 16, which is insane.
Mm-hmm.
And 17, right? And she's like, well, that's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they would have gotten divorced by the time they were 22.
Yeah.
And there would have been credibility all around. They got married, the kid was born, and now the lives have changed and you can go on and do whatever you want to do. But it doesn't feel like that when you're 16 and you get pregnant, or you're 16 and you're forced to make some decision that feels like it's the rest of your life.
Yeah, and it also, I get how it can feel like it's the right thing to do. It makes a lot of people happy. He is in love with her, but just because you get married, it doesn't mean that people step up to that marriage. He still would have been, you know, losing jobs, not really providing, not being around. He still would have, you know.
Can I tell you one of the most maddening episodes that I just remembered? When his wife is having a baby.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And Lorelai and Rory are by her side, her bedside, and he's nowhere. He's nowhere to be seen, Christopher. Nothing. That guy's absentee dad once again.
But he ends up coming at the end, and it almost breaks Lorelai's heart even more.
Right.
Because this is his second child, and he's giving this woman a little more attention. He's giving this child a little more enthusiasm. And
she's like, this is exactly what happened with Rory, but you weren't there for it. And Rory looked just like that. It was very heartbreaking. It made me want to reach into the, like, Palladino. Is that what's
yes,
her name?
Amy Sherman Palladino, the creator.
Right. She's amazing.
Amazing.
The fact that, yeah, just the writing on it was hilarious. I mean, that's what drew me into it, is that the quippiness of it,
mm-hmm.
and the dynamics between, like, and I spent, I don't know, it felt like decades, but I don't even know how many seasons were there? Seven,
and then 10 years later, there was a revival sort of, yeah, I
mistake.
Saw that cringe. I saw yeah. that cringe.
Yeah, there's trouble. It doesn't really go. It doesn't really work.
I had a really hard time with that. Yeah.
I had a hard time when her and Luke finally got together. And because German Palladino didn't know how to write that.
Why do you think that? That's interesting.
Because there are, and I can't think of any, but there are shows where the love interest doesn't break the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, traditionally, the love interest, when that tension gets fulfilled, it'll break a show.
Right.
And I think in this case, it did break this show.
Interesting. A lot of people feel that way. A lot of people feel like their tension was only there until they got together. I don't know if you know this, but Amy was not part of the seventh season.
That's right. That's right. And that's when they got together, right?
I think that's when they reunited. There was a lot in season seven.
Breaking up and getting back together and breaking up. Okay.
Well, so then there's the controversial, I mean, spoiler alert for this whole, I hope you put a big fat spoiler alert on this, but.
Yeah, we're talking about the show's 2007. You guys, it'll be okay. But when they did finally kiss for the first time, I cannot tell you, wall phone, you know, actually boop, 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 boop. Because by then it was push button. But yeah, I called everybody when they finally did kiss.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then it was that moment was completely destroyed because the next moment Lorelai caught Rory losing her virginity to her married first boyfriend. Like he was married, but that was her first boyfriend, and they were suddenly in bed together, and now we're dealing with, oh my God, you're the other woman.
Wait a minute. I forgot. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. So she didn't have sex with Jess or Dean?
No.
And then did she go to Yale or whatever?
She was in Yale. Dean was married and she slept with him when he was married.
That's right. It was Dean. Mm-hmm. She did sleep with Dean, but when he was married.
Yeah.
Oh, that was brutal. And then they had a big blowout.
Yeah.
And Rory was just like, yeah.
Well, what's funny is instead of Dean's wife, Lindsay, fighting with Rory, Rory's mom and Lindsay's mom fought in the street because these are little girls.
Yes.
They're still 18, 19 years old. I get that you're an adult, but you've had adult life for like a year.
Right.
This is
right, because Dean married Lindsay. Because Lindsay got pregnant. Is that right?
No, not at all. It's just,
oh,
they're just in a small town and they're getting married at 19.
And they got married at 19 like you do. And then, right, they'd gone to high school together.
Yeah.
Or they were in that small town together. I don't think Lindsay went to Chilton, obviously.
No, but Dean wasn't in Chilton either. Dean was in the original high school. So
right, with Jess.
Like back then, yes, they were young, but it wasn't completely nuts. My mother would have been so happy about my wedding at 19. By the time you're in your mid-20s, you're kind of, now you have slim pickings, according to older generations. You know, it's the people who can't get anyone who start getting together. This is a mindset. This is where people are. And I give parents credit for moving forward as much as they did. You know, like these are the people who brought me to the United States of America to live in New York. I am so grateful for this passport. I am so grateful for New York. I am in love with New York. I think it is so fantastic. So they gave me this life, but they gave it with a string, you know.
Completely.
Comfort.
You know, when I graduated from high school, from college, my dad, because I had not, I didn't have a boyfriend. And so he introduced me. He was like, so in the Armenian church, there are two kinds of priests. There's the unmarried priest. He's the only one who can become the Armenian pope, the Catholicos. Mm. And then there is the married priest. He's a der hayar, but he has to get married before he takes his vows of being a priest or whatever. So there was a year. He only introduced me to two guys, and one guy really kind of pushed him. And I was like, you picture me as a priest's wife? What's happening? And he was like, I just think you should maybe get married. I think it's just something. And I'm like, yeah, no.
That's and, the thing. When parents who don't take the time to get to know the real you, and also I'm hiding me, let's be honest, right?
Right,
I'm hiding because
right.
You kind of asked me to hide because you feel uncomfortable about what the real me is.
Right. I'm not going to bring it up. Because you're going to be all sad or mad or some damn thing. Yeah.
Now, if you try to hook me up with someone and you don't know what my personality is, this is going to be such a mismatch. And my parents wanted to. I remember my mom was like, hey, there's, you know, my friend's son, blah, blah, blah. And I go, if you can tell me anything about that guy other than the fact that he's like, you know, your friend's son, I will go on this date. It's just like, you're so rude. Like, and then she's like, how come my daughter won't let me do this? And I go, well, you know, because you'll let your friends hook you up. I'm like, they would never do this to me. They would never, like,
no,
he's single,
even.
You're single, you must want to be together.
Right. I've never, that is a, talk about a caricature of a friend, like to have the friend who wants to hook everybody up. And you're just like, I occasionally think, I was like, well, who would I, because we have a friend named Kevin who is very nice. And Kevin, if you're listening, I sometimes look at my fellow comedians and my friends that I know, and I think, oh, I like Kevin too much. He shouldn't go out with her. And so I don't do it.
I was going to say, don't do that to him.
I'm not here to, I gotta like Kevin pick his own lady. And so, yes.
I also think a much easier way to hook someone up is more of a group setting, like invite us all to somewhere and then we'll find each other.
Just invite a bunch of people over and people that are age appropriate might drift towards each other. And then you might go, oh, would you want to get coffee or something another time? And then all of a sudden they're dating and life is great, whatever.
It's not that insane.
Yeah. So we've talked about the deep subjects that Gilmore Girls makes you think about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What are your favorite episodes or your favorite seasons? Or what, do you have such a thing?
There's like certain scenes that I look forward to. And some of them are the ones that made me cry that I brought up. But there's this one where Emily guilts Lorelai into working with the PTA or some kind of like, you know, school shenanigans. And they end up putting on a fashion show. And so Lorelai manipulates Emily right back into being part of the fashion show. And all the Gilmore friends, this sounds so innocuous, so silly, so stupid, like a throwaway something in the show. But you see Emily and Lorelai doing, they're wearing the corniest outfit and Emily is thrilled. And she suddenly like loose for like 10 seconds. She puts her hand in the air. And I've been on the Reddit threads. I've discussed Gilmore situations and every Gilmore friend likes that part because you see Emily enjoying life with just a little less restriction. Like, oh my God, this mother-daughter, when they never get to sincerely enjoy each other, when they have to put their personalities aside in order to get along, are like having this moment. And I look forward to things like that. I look forward to those really, and I look forward to crying at certain scenes too. Lorelai breaks down at some point, just going like, I failed. I have no money. This isn't going well. And suddenly I find myself needing a partner. And, you know, as a modern woman, you don't want to wish for a partner. You don't want to wish, you know, like those are dreams.
You want to do stuff alone. Yeah.
You want to feel independent. You want to be like, I don't need a man. This and she lets go of it for a second and go, you know what? I admit it. Sometimes it would be really nice. Just stuff like that is so, like you said, Amy Sherman-Palladino has such a click into the relationship between mother, daughter, grandparents, like just this beautiful
thing.
Right.
She remembers. There were always lines. I still say some of them. Like catchphrases and stuff. There's something I still use from the Gilmore Girls and I can't remember what it is.
Well, there's this line. We just put out the season finale of season one and Melissa McCarthy is Suki and she's feeling ennui because Michelle is French and he was feeling ennui and she caught it from him. And then she ends up going, what's the opposite of ennui? She goes, off-we. Oh, I'm cured. And awfully that is just beloved. And, you know, as I sit here and discuss it and obsess about it, believe me, whatever your listeners are saying, I'm doing it in my own head. I'm bullying myself. Oh, that's so funny, Chemda. Oh, why don't you obsess about it even more? I can't help it.
No. And the thing is, it's the purpose of the Dork Forest is to love the thing that you love for an hour. And you have about 8 minutes to continue to love on this show. Is there anything that you would like to? Who's your favorite character that isn't Lorelai or Rory or the parents? I think mine might be Suki.
You know, I normally don't like that character, the buffoonery, the falling down, the lighting things on fire as a chef, you know, but she does it so well. When she goes, Norman Mailer, I'm pregnant. I look forward to that one. But if I had a favorite, I never thought of the favorite character, but I think I like what they did with Jesse.
Okay. Yeah. He was very little baby James Dean what he was.
Very controversial. Mm-hmm. I liked what they did with Lorelai's response to him, where she hated him, where it's like, wow, you don't even relate to the rebel that you were. And you fall into this shitty version of yourself around him. And in order to connect with him, you bring out the Emily side of you and then are surprised that he's rejecting it. So I thought that was really interesting. I thought it was really interesting how he pursued Rory and how Dean saw it. You saw his heart breaking and breaking and breaking until it just collapsed and Rory ended up being with Jesse. And here's the thing. As soon as Jesse got Rory, he was such an asshole to her. And he even said things like, well, I don't have to go to that anymore. Because she's like, why don't you go to the festival with me? She's a joiner in the community. And she's like, oh, we're having this corny thing. She does the corny thing, which is great. That's what their situation is. And he goes, no, I don't have to do that anymore. I got you now. And that fans are like, well, Jesse was the best. I'm like, yeah, he was the best until she said, okay, you're my boyfriend now. And now he doesn't care. He doesn't call her back. He doesn't do what he says he would do. And I like that development of the character because it is, in a lot of ways, the person that we would fall into. A lot of ways, like, it made so much sense that Rory left a perfectly good relationship for this connection that she felt that was palpable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then that dropped the ball, you know, and then he remained an asshole for a reasonable amount of time that a person in his situation and his angst would be. So I thought that was a really believable guy. Like he was very intelligent and also like he doesn't want to be in the small town. It's perfectly reasonable. His mother rejected him. He got sent to his uncle. Everyone around him is a big goofball of like daisies and sunshine. Like,
yeah, they're not, they're jacket. Right. He's the cool kid. But he does have that sort of, now that they're going out, he doesn't care anymore. And it made him so much, I mean, it was perfect in how unlikable he was. And then you kept trying, I related with Lorelai and kept trying to like him. I'm trying to like him. He's not helping.
Yeah. It's not. So he's not in a position to help. He's in a position where a lot of bad things happen to him and he's in the middle of this angst. And what you're trying to do is relate from your sunshine and happiness instead of being like, hey, I get it. And I'm not going to try to have some ABC moment with you that I know can't happen because I remember when I was 16, this is not the way to get you to come around.
Right. And he is 16. He's, you know, they're all to be 16. So this is 16-year-old love. It's not going to work.
Right.
For the most part. And it is, it's depicted incredibly realistically. Yeah. And then, and it's going to fall apart because he has to deal with his own problems before he can be, you know, a good partner or whatever. So,
yeah. Wow. And he was, he's not,
it, did, it broke my heart a little bit though, when she broke up with him. And then when she got with Dean, when he was married, and then I was just like, and then she goes to college and she meets all those haircut dudes, right? The shiny tumbler, the guys that have been put into rock tumblers. And they're just the shiniest dudes in the world. It reminded me of when Buffy the Vampire Slayer went to college. I was like, oh, I can't stand any of these people. It was a lot harder for me to watch the show when she was in college. Yeah.
And you know what? What was interesting about that is when she met Logan, and he's a trust fund kid, unapologetically, he spends his money, in my opinion, really well. If you're going to do it, live it up. And he certainly does. And what that part of the show brings, and yeah, it goes off the rails as things do, but what that does is it reminds Rory that she's also from that in a certain way. But she rejects that only when it's convenient for her. She calls him a trust fund kid. She says, oh, look at all this, you know, she goes to this party and it's like, you know, people being rich. And she writes an article about how, you know, everyone's just congratulating each other on their yachts and stuff. And he goes, yeah, you're that too. The reason you got to write that article and post it the reason you got that job is because you were at that party being the person that you are. So all this, you know, and then you kind of see how somebody can come from, even they're not from a different country, she's from a small town and a rich, waspy background. Family. So she has to do that push-pull within herself as well. And I think, you know, that was done really well.
Okay. There you go. I like it. I think, and then I always thought Luke was super dreamy.
Yeah.
I always, you know, I was just like, he was a curmudgeon and he was a grump, but he's the guy that will, when your car breaks down, come and help you.
And he sure did.
Mm-hmm. And he always showed up for her.
Always showed up. That's the thing. He fixed her skates when he knew she was going ice skating. He made a chuppah when she was getting married. He drove her. He closed his diner because her father was in the hospital, so he can drive her there. He was sort of as much of a father figure to Rory. He was so soft around her and so loving to her. And again, like, yeah, if you watch the first few episodes, he is angry, mean, and just very, very odd. But we have to remember what we expected from men, and that was anger, and it was emotionless, and it was like a very stoic, very back off. I can only be soft with a person after I'm together with them for a long time, after we claim to love each other and in this very private atmosphere. So it's a little bit of a caricature on what we saw.
Well,
in
he starts out as a caricature, but I think that he ends up personifying both sort of, I mean, cause those are those expectations that everybody had, what, she, you know, Lorelai was raised to be this woman and she rejected it. Luke was raised to be this man and he accepted it. But he accepted it from a place where he was also like, but I'm also going to be a decent, incredibly supporting uncle, friend, mm-hmm. unrequited lover. You know, he's just going to be, so he might be my favorite character. I like them all. I think they're great.
Yeah, they're very well developed. And he also rebelled against his upbringing too. His father was a man's man. His father had a hardware store. He had a diner. I think his father would have called him soft.
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah. Called him a big sissy. Mm-hmm. Hamda, let me just say that it has been an hour and we have barely scratched the surface.
No, we gotta keep going.
Of the Gilmore Girls. Here's the good news, everybody. There's a podcast for that. It's called Gilmore Friends. And GilmoreFriends.com has all of your Gilmore Friends needs. And if you go to YouTube/GilmoreFriendsPodcast.com, you can see the vids of all that. And Hemda is great and has always been super nice to me. And she will be nice to you on her podcast. So why don't you listen to it? Thank you so much for being on the program, Hemda.
Thanks, Jackie. That was super fun.
And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that?
If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?